Hi, this is Luke Wilson from Masked and Anonymous, and you're listening to movie magazine KUSF San Francisco.
Hi, this is Larry Charles, director of Masked and Anonymous, and you're listening to movie magazine KUSF San Francisco.
Hi, this is Heather Clisby, and we are speaking with Larry Charles, director of Masked and Anonymous, and also Luke Wilson, who stars in the film Masked and Anonymous. First thing I want to ask you is, with your background in mostly television comedy, how did you land this plum job directing Dylan in this film?
Well, Bob was interested in doing something, and he wasn't quite sure what. And he talked to a lot of different people, and he's a very instinctive, intuitive person. And when I had the opportunity to sit down and talk to him, we just immediately hit it off, and we were in sync, and we just began riffing immediately. And after that, there was just no question about it. That's what we were doing. We were working together.
And just to clear something up, was this film written for him? Because there were so many references in the dialogue to he and his music.
Well, the movie is written by these two very brilliant gentlemen, Rene Fontaine and Sergei Petrov. Any resemblance to people living or dead is purely coincidental. That's about all I can say about that.
I got to ask you the most obvious question, obviously. What was it like to work with Dylan?
For me, from an acting standpoint, it was really interesting because he's somebody whose music I've always liked, and as a result of really enjoying his music, I've been interested in him as a person, so I've just kind of read what I could about him. And then you meet him, and he's, you know, different, of course, than what you've read about, and he's, you know, which makes him seem almost kind of even more incredible to me, that he's just like a normal man that makes all this music.
Well, I mean, at least to me, sitting in the dark watching it, it had to come across as we tend to elevate people to these ridiculous heights, and I would think in a way for you guys maybe it brought it down a little.
Well, you know, Bob Dylan is one of the few people in American culture who deserves to be put up on this pedestal. I mean, he has accomplished, he's one of the few people, in my opinion, that when the rubble of the society is worked through by anthropologists sometime in the future, his work will be amongst the few things that actually stand up. So he deserves the accolades and the respect and the awe that he gets. At the same time, as Luke said, he's also a man trying to figure it out as well, just like everybody else. But for me, what I say to people is that it's like having Picasso give you a brush and say, come on, paint with me. And so it's a you know, an honor and a privilege to sort of bask in his glow, you know.
Was it difficult to direct him as, I mean, just taking away the Dylan stuff, but I mean, as a non-actor?
It was interesting. You know, I'm a big fan of filmmakers like Pasolini, who use amateur people in their movies, non-actors, because you get something genuine and something spontaneous and something different from them than a normal acting performance. And Bob was sort of like that. Bob is kind of a primitive in acting technique, and yet he's a powerful persona and a fast learner and totally present and such an iconic face that, you know, it's a kind of singular performance. I mean, he's almost like breaking ground in terms of acting style, you know, in a sense, in a weird way. And because he is a student of film also. I mean, he loves Marlon Brando. He loves great acting, you know. So he was able to kind of do his version of it in the movie, which was very interesting to watch and help guide him through it.
Now, Luke, your character, Bobby Cupid, seems, well, he's the most close with Jack Fate. Mm-hmm. He's the one character where he feels safe with you. Why do you think that is?
I guess it's just one of those things where, I mean, in working with Larry on the movie, we just talked about a lot of ideas, and we talked about, you know, Bobby Cupid maybe just kind of having been this guy that was just around him a long time. And for the character of Jack Fate, I can picture, you know, Bobby Cupid when he met him, having not even really known who he was, and Jack Fate, probably like Bob Dylan, would kind of appreciate that. That's just kind of my feeling, is that Jack Fate, he can just tell what people are like kind of inside, and Bobby Cupid's just somebody who's just like a dog, you know, just very loyal to him.
I got the sense that Bobby had protected him at some point in the past when he was very vulnerable.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, and that, you know, Bobby had protected him, and maybe, you know, Jack had saved him at some point. But yeah, it's definitely, though, you get that kind of feeling between them, and like, you know, they've been through the fire together.
And I swore that this interview would not be like Mr. Tom Friend, so try to be mellow on that.
No, you're actually asking, you're asking a question and waiting for an answer.
I watched it. I'm like, oh God, that's how they see us. You know, that's terrible.
Well, Bob's had a very, you know, very prickly relationship with the media over the years. He's been, you know, raised to the highest level and excoriated and humiliated publicly, and that's part of his reality. And he survived it all. So he has a very, very unique relationship with the media.
Speaking of the media, I mean, being here in San Francisco is making me think of when he did those Born Again shows at the Warfield. I mean, not that I saw them, I just read a lot about them. And there was a review in the paper the next day that said, Dylan's god-awful gospel. And that, you know, I mean, those now, in retrospect, are thought of as like the most unbelievable kind of transcendent shows, and how kind of, you know, him not playing new stuff. And so that, I think, is kind of ties back, and you can picture Tom Friend having wrote that, you know, showing up and, you know, having liked him in the 60s, and then here's this guy who's going down a totally different path. I mean, I can really see Tom Friend just being infuriated. And that's, you know, Jeff Bridges' character, who's kind of like a journalist being.
Yeah, it looked like Bridges was working out his own demons with the media there, too, for a minute.
Well, that's a testament to Jeff Bridges' acting also. I mean, he's a consummate actor and completely plunged into his character in a sort of a eerie way.
Who would you most like to work with, and in what capacity? What is your dream situation?
Well, it doesn't get any better than working with Bob Dylan. I mean, that is my dream situation. And in the future, and in the past as well, I'm always interested in collaborating with people that will elevate my game, people that will challenge me and throw me some sort of curve that I couldn't anticipate, that creates some kind of synthesis between us that's sort of greater than the sum of its parts, in a way. And so that's what I will hopefully continue to do in the future, is find interesting people to collaborate with.
Michael Mann, I've loved his. My dad took me to Thief when I was a kid, and I just loved the feeling of his movies. And I was a fan of Miami Vice when I was growing up. And
did you have the outfit?
No, I didn't. But I will say, I thought Don Johnson looked really cool. With no socks and his sleeves pushed up.
Pastel blazers.
If I could have had access to that kind of thing, I would have worn it happily. But no, I'd really, Michael Mann to me is pretty incredible. Real affected by his movies.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking with us. This is Heather Clisby, and we've been speaking with the director of Masked and Anonymous, Larry Charles, and also one of its stars, Luke Wilson.